this because in Luke chapter 23, the disciples probably thought that the crucifixion was going to be the end of it all. They had just witnessed that Jesus had been betrayed by Judas in Gethsemane. They saw Jesus go through a series of mock trials. He's been scourged, delivered to be crucified. He dies on the cross. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus take the body of Jesus for burial. So when the disciples saw that, perhaps they had the appearance that it's over. Door closed. The end. Finished. No more. Nothing else to be done. That concludes it. Amen. Let's go on. But then Luke chapter 24. Now we have a grand announcement that begins with a grand opening of the tomb. And in verse 6, the two men said, "He's not here. He's risen." And this opening of the tomb is the beginning of several openings that are recorded in Luke chapter 24. And that's what gives us the lesson this morning. Let's take number one, the open tomb. Verses 1 through 3. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher bringing spices which they prepared. And certain others were with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. They entered in. Found not the body of the Lord Jesus. The tomb was open. They found the tomb empty. And I'll put in your notes, the tomb wasn't supposed to be open. When Matthew records this event in Matthew 27, it says the chief priests and the scribes or the Pharisees came together to Pilate. And they said, "Sir, we remember that deceiver," meaning Jesus, "while he was yet alive, he said, 'After 3 days I'll rise again.' So they said to Pilate, 'Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure for at least 3 days. Otherwise his disciples will come by night and they'll steal him away. And they'll say to the people, he's risen from the dead.' Pilate said to them, 'You have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can.' So they went, these chief priests and Pharisees, and they made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch." That was a tremendous stone that covered the opening of the tomb. Not only was it a great, tremendous stone, but it was sealed. Caulking, if you will. And they set a guard. It wasn't supposed to be open. But Matthew continues the story in Matthew 28, verse 2. "An angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it." See, the tomb was open so that the disciples could see in. They could see it empty. The disciples didn't steal the body and provide a tale or a story to say, he's risen. No, the tomb, they found the tomb empty. The tombstone was rolled away. Second, there was open memory. In Luke 24, beginning of verse 6, these two men, the angel said, "He's not here, but is risen. Remember?" The angel said to these ladies, "Remember how he spake unto forth that message of Jesus. In Matthew 12:40, the illustration of Jonah being 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale. The Son of Man is going to be 3 days in the belly of the earth. In Matthew 20:18, Jesus said the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of the chief priests and scribes. Well, they'll condemn him to death. And they'll deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to be scourged. And they'll crucify him. And the third day, he will rise. They said, remember that? Oh, we remember. John chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus said, destroy the temple. In 3 days, I'll raise it up. Remember that? And they said, I remember. They remembered the word. Number three and four kind of go together. Number three, I put in your notes, they have opened eyes. Number four, open scriptures. See, because before their eyes could be opened, Jesus opened the scriptures to these ladies. But in verse 31, it says their eyes were opened. Number three in your notes. And they knew him. But they had to remember scriptures. It was Jesus, just as the angel reminded the ladies of the words that Jesus said during his ministry, if this body dies, I'll raise it up in 3 days. Now Jesus is with them and he says, I want you to remember the words of the prophet. And when they remembered the words of the prophet, their eyes were opened. Ah, I understand now. In verse 10, verse 10. Says it was Mary, the lady about name. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna. And Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with him, which told these things unto the apostles. In other words, he's risen. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and the apostles, that they believed them not. Remember, they thought the crucifixion was the end. And now somebody comes with a message. He's risen. Really? They don't believe right away. In verse 16, that they should not know it, or that they did not recognize him. In verse 26, Jesus meets with these ladies, and he said unto them, O foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. You remember, the angel said, remember the words that Jesus said in his ministry? Oh, we remember that. Now Jesus is with them. He says, I want you to remember the words of the prophets. And then when he reminds them of the words of the prophets, their eyes are open. Evidently, because people always want to know, why didn't they recognize him? Why were their eyes holden? Why didn't they already know? Well, evidently, maybe Jesus didn't want them to recognize him in the flesh until he pointed out that they needed to recognize him in Scripture. No doubt Jesus wanted them to know him on the believing Scripture before they just said, oh, I think that might be the resurrected Jesus. Now, let me show you or prove to you that I'm the resurrected Jesus. And when he did, their eyes were open. So number four is the open scriptures. It's in the next verse, verse 32. They said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he, meaning Jesus, talked to us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures, Jesus opened scriptures to open their eyes. Verse 27 is going back in the story. It says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He opened scriptures to open their eyes. In verse 31, it says their eyes were opened and they knew him. And then in verse 32, they make the conclusion. way. Because that's one purpose of Scripture, is to open eyes. When you open Scripture, it should open your eyes to faith and belief. And that's one purpose. And the Bible says in John 20, verses 30 and 31, and many other signs, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing ye might have life through his name. A purpose, there's others, but this one that's recorded right here. These are written that he might believe. And that's what Jesus did with these ladies when they were walking by the way. He opened the Scriptures and it opened their eyes. When we open Scriptures, it ought to open our eyes to faith and belief. Number five. He opens his hands and gave a blessing. In Luke 24, verse 15. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. It's not a clenched fist, you know, like Jesus has. He doesn't say, oh, I'm going to come back and get them for this. No. He lifts up his hands and blesses them. I don't know all that that involves, but I know it's a good thing. He blesses them. Because of Jesus' resurrection and Jesus' ascension back to the Father, he's opened spiritual blessings for us. The Apostle Paul records it in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jesus still has lifted up hands, or hands that are open, to bless you and me. But we need to be found in Christ Jesus to receive those blessings. We need to be on his side. Others need to know on whose side we stand to receive the blessings that Jesus has to give. Number six, he opened the door to heaven. It's in verse 51. It came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Jesus, when he got to heaven, didn't close the door behind him. He didn't shut us out. He didn't leave us wondering. He didn't say, I'm sorry, you can't come here. Before he leaves this earth during his earthly ministry, and you're familiar with the text in John chapter 14. And in verse 3 specifically, he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So where Jesus went, you and I may one day go. When he left, he entered heaven and opened the door for us to follow. He became our forerunner. He is the first fruits. So we will follow him one day into heaven because we have followed him here on earth. Number seven, he opened a new day of grace for us. It's in verses 46 and 47. This was the message that Jesus gave to those that were there before he blesses them and is lifted up. Here was his part of his message. in Luke 24, verses 46 and 47. Thus he said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. These are his last words before he is ascended back to the Father. To those that are there, this is his commission to them, his charge. He says, I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The question is, did that happen? Did those that were there follow his commandments? Did they fulfill his charge? 10 days later, after Jesus ascended to the Father, we find the disciples, just as Jesus told them to do, stay in Jerusalem till ye receive power from on high. And that happened in Acts chapter 1 and the opening verses of chapter 2. The disciples are in the right place at the right time. When the time comes, Peter and the other apostles stand up. And they preach to the devout Jews from every nation, among all nations. Every nation is represented. Peter stands up and preaches to them that they crucified the Christ. They've murdered the Messiah. In verse 37, he says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart. And they cried out unto Peter and the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And in verse 38, Peter gives the answer. Repent. Wait a minute, I heard that before. Isn't that what Jesus said back here before he was ascended? I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2. The disciples are in Jerusalem, the right place, the right time. Peter has preached that they crucified the Christ. They're guilty as charged. What shall we do? Is there any hope for us? Peter and the apostles said, repent and be baptized. Why? For the remission of sins. That's what Jesus said to do. Repent and be baptized. How many? Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, or by his authority, by his power, by his word, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and to receive the gift of God's Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and as many as are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. In verse 41, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Then those that gladly received his word were baptized. They received the blessing of remission of sins and the gift of God's Spirit. Jesus opened a new day of grace. And that's the invitation we extend. If you ask me what you should do to be saved, I'm going to give you the same answer that Peter and the other apostles gave in Acts 2, verse 38. I'll make no apologies. Paul said in Romans 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. So I'm giving a Bible answer to a Bible question. What must I do to be saved? Repent and be baptized. Every one of you, if you haven't done that already, for the remission of sin and to receive the gift of God's Spirit. We're going to sing a song. We call it a song of invitation to close the lesson. Maybe one here that has not done that. You have not been baptized. See, that's something that you need to do. So we're going to sing this song of encouragement, song of invitation.